The two main items which we're supposed to deal with is the MCA shortlisting. We have already agreed that we're going to shortlist by name. The second item is the issue of the SAPC interviews. I'm told that some of the candidates are here, but they are checking on them. In terms of apologies, there is an apology from Honorable Sniman, who is attending the strategy. He will join us as soon as he can. That's the apology. Honorable Sniman is attending the strategy. Then he might join us after dinner. Yes, he has on the strategy, he looks much better. After running, he looks much better. But on our list of sickness, we are joined by Honorable Ushisei, who is not well. He has come down with flu. I just received an SMS last night, but confirmed by Honorable Moshi that indeed is not well. I've seen the rest, they are recovering, or they are in the process to recover. Honorable Rutwa is here. Honorable Lazi is here. Honorable Soma is joining us next, maybe around 5 or so. But she seems to have recovered process. She was also in the whole of last week. Probably a stopping there. The issue of members of the committee not being well. Unfortunately, yesterday I had worked for a minor procedure for my throat and so on. But they don't discover anything, but probably when the text comes back, we'll say otherwise. But for now, I'm here. So it seems as if no one is taking one way or another of not being well. But members, let us start. I think when we start the SAPC, we'll go back to our discussion, to our suggestions last week, that if members can be short and straight to the point in terms of the question, so that we do much work around that. I have received a letter from Honorable Sheen, Honorable Killen, not Honorable Sheen, which is talking about the SADC issues. In short, what Honorable Killen is here, the letter requests that you call the SADC board before the committee to come and explain processes or the process they are going to follow to appoint permanent incumbent as CFO's chief operation officer and the acting group CEO, just to explain the entire what will happen since the group CEO has left. The letter further says in the same session we can then deal with the issue of the public protector's report recommendations and so on. Honorable Killen is proposing that we deal with that next week, next Tuesday, 11th of March. That's what I'm saying. Probably I'll request the support to make a copy of it. Can we discuss that so that we proceed our process on our machine?
Cheers, thank you.
I was just wanting to know if you had any response from the board to the notes you were going to send them last week, attached to my request that they appear before us. And if so, what that response was.
Thank you. Any other member on the matter? Probably this is with your question on our machine. I think we quoted the letter test after because it has to be checked by the legal manager we want us to write a letter and then later find that there are problems, but we quoted the letter late Thursday afternoon. There is no response yet, as I speak. Probably the matter which then will follow up with the SAPC board in terms of those responses as well. Yeah, but it's not that. Honorable Moruta?
Chairperson, I don't know what has influenced Honorable Kiyeto, right? I think that what we discussed at length last week represented Honorable Chile that if SABC is going to have elsewhere that we will be able to hear from them. That's what you said, all the other things that we can be hearing. So that's why I don't know what you were saying, right? Because nothing, I think it has been addressed, whatever content he has been addressed last week by the deputy of the country. Chairperson, I'm very sorry, I'm finding this, I'm a broken record. I'm not very well, and also my voice is not very good. But I just thought I should put across my family.
Thank you, Honorable Rosa. Honorable
Chairperson, I must say, I do have a concern that I have to raise. As you see, the problem is that there's a lot of speculation that is running in the SABC at present. And I thought that it would be more responsible to inquire about the speculation, which is that one of the board members will take over as acting CEO. And I thought it would be inappropriate for us to not firsthand engage with the SABC board. Now, I fail to understand why we can't, as a committee that is responsible for oversight, engage with them on a one-to-one basis in this parliament. Ultimately, the SABC board is accountable to this parliament. Yes, the minister is representing the shareholder, and the COC has function to support the SABC, but the SABC board is accountable to Parliament. Now, the Honourable Mutami last week said that we've got program, etc., but our program has never been cast in stone. Our program has always been flexible enough to accommodate matters that are of a concern to members of the committee. And it would really be a sad day if we conclude our activities during the next week, this week and next week, and we have not had the SABC board before us so that they could deal with some of the pressing issues that members of the committee have placed on the agenda. So that was the reason why I motivated for a specific date for us to say either we go next week Tuesday or maybe Wednesday, but we need to engage with them so that we can say at the end, when we compile our legacy report, that we have conducted our work as we should have done as an oversight committee over the SABC. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kiran, Honorable Moroto.
Chairperson, what Honorable Kiran said is so good and profound. But that is exactly what we want to do. When SABC comes after they have received your letter, And these are some of the things. And we can't come and deal with speculation here. Speculation that somebody is going to do this and that. We are going to hear from the court that is their process and what they are going to be doing. I think really we are not wasting time here, as you know, last time somebody reprimanded someone and said, he said every time there's a press release, you come to the committee, that's called SNDC. This is the same thing that we are doing right now. I think this is just not on.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that, some of our members need to understand that our concerns about the SNDC are not based on press releases. We've had before this committee two very serious reports, one by the public protector, one by PricewaterhouseCoopers, pinpointing serious shortfalls at the SNDC. These are not media reports. These are considered professionally done reports. They need to be taken seriously by this committee. We need to actually engage with the SNDC board, whom we have appointed. We actually chose these people. And this committee is repeatedly failing the SNDC because we're actually too timorous to actually interrogate the boards that we do. So we actually need to have before us. They need to realize that they're accountable to Parliament. And we actually, I would very much suggest that this committee, if it was, he has the flexibility. This is a crisis. We need to actually get on top of it. We have to show that we are serious about the people we appoint to the SNDC board to hold them to account. And I would thoroughly endorse Ms. Killian's idea of the letter, and I think that we must, if we are to do our final job as this committee, call the SNDC board before us to explain their actions.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Chairperson, please. I do want to just make the following statement, and that is that, Honourable Rukwar, I respect her view. I respect her as a long-standing member of the committee. But we must also remember that as a committee, we were fearless in our approach in 2009 about a board that was not performing. We held them accountable. We called them in. Individual members who couldn't make it were compelled to attend. And during the period 2009 and 2010, we kept them very closely managed. Now, we have lost that close management and interaction with the SNDC board. During the interim period, the interim board not once reported to this committee. Now we have the board that was appointed last year. We have some serious problems that we want to engage with. And it is not rumor, it's not media speculation. We are public representatives and we receive information that we are compelled to share in our parliamentary work. We have an open democracy, Chairperson. And we cannot silence individuals who are raising concerns, and we must act responsibly as members. That is what I'm trying to do, to bring these matters to the attention of the relevant committee who is dealing with it. That is my responsibility, and I will certainly be remiss in my duty if I don't do that. And that is why I'm just asking, can we please call them in? Can we have confirmation that they will be here next week? Thank you.
Thank you. But probably members, maybe we started the discussion from the wrong angle. I thought because members, they were here when we were dealing the matter last week. The starting point will also not to undermine ourselves as a committee. Because last week, Honorable Shin was dealt with a matter which was raised by Honorable Shin at length. We have discussed the matter. And last week we agreed that we are going to write the SAPC, attaching the letter for Honorable Shin. And also because last week we received, there was a letter which was addressed by the SAPC board chairperson to me, explaining about the processes around the public protectors and all. And in that letter, they indicated that on the 24th of February, they will meet now. The decision last week was that I must write attaching Honorable Shin's letter and also requesting the SAPC board to explain in terms of that on their meeting on the 24th of February. How did they have to process the public protectors report or what action they are going to take around that? Now we are meeting today. I'm sure it was Wednesday also. We are meeting today, Tuesday, with another member requesting us to call SAPC. Now, among issues which the member Honorable Hillen is raising is the public protector report. Within the letter we left Thursday, we are also seeking a response to that. The only new issues raised by Honorable Hillen is around the issue of the appointment of the executives of the SAPC, which we know very well as members that is a process between the board and the committee does not deal with the appointment of executives and so on. Now, but raising a concern to say what are they going to follow about filling of those vacancies in terms of that particular process, which I think that if you look in terms of the issue of executives appointment, probably even the board may not be relevant to the person who has got the concurrent responsibility and permission to come into the minister than the SAPC board and so on. And we have to say that ourselves in that process of appointment, we don't have any role which we should be playing and so on. But I'm just saying, if you look at our decision last week and where we are now, probably the best thing members should have said they want to revoke the decision of last week. So that we don't talk as if we don't have a way forward to a decision around this matter. So if you agree to withdraw or to revoke your decision of last week, then we can talk about how to move on. But it's the same issue, or are the same issues which are coming up and so on. Now, my difficulty is that after writing that letter without receiving a response, because it's also fair that if it left Thursday afternoon, it would mean the only day which they might have was Friday. And the SAPC board is not full-time, and so on. If they might want to respond in some of our letters, in the letter which has been written, through the attachment of the Honorable Bushing, they might have also to confer within themselves as board members, because our staff is complaining again that they must work as a collective and so on in terms of trying to address this matter. The difficult thing then is that we can't talk much about who they want to appoint the group CEO. Let's say for argument's sake, we know the principles. I'm sure all members are aware that which principles are acceptable in terms of appointment of executives. Recent experience of SAA where the executive then becomes the acting CEO and so on. It happened recently and so on. So I'm just saying if you follow the board's activities and so on, it's not amiss that we have a board member becoming acting and so on. There is a recent experience of SAA. Although other things are bonded to another direction, but I'm just saying, and so if there are those rumors to say people they want to do that, is it illegal, is it wrong, and so what exactly are we discussing around there, and so on. So, but fortunately, because Honorable Killen does not raise it explicit on the letter that he was just elaborating when he was talking about, but I'm saying we must deal with the issues at the principal level and so on, so that we don't raise things as if they are new or they are not happening. But from where I am, I've not yet received any indication in terms of how they want to fill the executives. And I think the group CEO is left end of February to raise the vote for the 5th of February. So if you look also at the timeline, even ourselves sometimes we seem to be unreasonable in terms of timeline, in terms of how people can do things and so on. But that does not mean, Honorable Kiran, that we don't want to do our work. But we want that at the time when we do our work, then we've got a desired impact, or we make impact in terms of what we do, so that we don't just do it for the sake of it and so on. But I think members must help me with that. We got the last big decision. This matter is coming now. But you can't discuss it if you don't have last week's discussion. So probably not that, but saying we have to withdraw that discussion or revoke that decision. But the letter is gone already. Enter that decision. And so, Honorable Shin.
Would it be possible before we make a decision on this for us to have a sight of the letter that you sent to the SABC last week? Because obviously if you've added things to it that were different to what was in my letter, obviously we need to actually know what it is you've actually asked the SABC, so that we can make a proper decision going forward. Perhaps you can have that and we can postpone this until after lunch and sound straight and then make a decision. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. And then I've got reason to believe that you comply with our decision, the meeting. Nevertheless, I think you still submit that copy and if that is the result that we need to finalize the matter of the legislation. But the point that I was raising for now, I think it is in all fairness you need to comply with the decision of the meeting.
Mark.
Chairperson, I think I really compare with you. One of the things that was surprising is in the manner that Honorable Killian is from Solzi. The question, whose responsibility is it? I was asking myself, is it not the minister? Because the way we can't ask people what they are going to be deciding, that it's not our area of work. I don't think it's our. That's the most important thing that you have mentioned right now. And I think I concur with you. You see, Chairperson, I just wanted to make a comment also. It seems like we think we're going to pack everything and do everything, and we refer to this report that we're going to be writing as the legacy of this committee, as if people are going to die and they will never come back. There is going to be a committee next time that is going to deal with these issues. And these issues will be deferred to that committee. And they will deal with them. I don't know what is this, whether people are doubtful whether they are going to come back here or what.
I would think that as things stand now, we have last week decision. The request which members or to order she is raising, they want to see the letter that sent before we can release it the matter. I think that's what they're raising, Honorable Chi. Want to see the letter. And upon that we can look over and so on.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think even there to see the letter that you sent me, you covered almost everything to say. The issue of appointment of group C is not our responsibility. Unless now we want this parliament to start to micromanage ECDC, then we'll have a problem ourselves. Like what my story is saying, it seems as if, because these issues have been there, like the incident, because there's nothing new, and then we cannot be also acting on the rumor that somebody has to be appointed, somebody has that somebody is going to be appointed as an acting group CEO. I think let's allow, we've taken a resolution that, let's allow you the SABC space, because the way it seems that it is like, this is the point that we all appointed ourselves, Parliament. It's like now there's this issue to say, there's a conclusion already to say the SABC was not doing such an expectation. And then apart from the old public protector report, there's nothing else that can say to say that now we want to send the SABC board. Board members are not exercising their official duties as expected to do. So let's adjourn the meeting for now, just for their satisfaction, to say, give them the letter. But the issue is that chairman, there's no single day wherein we give you a task to execute. And if you don't, I don't know it as expected. But I don't know what I'm doing, let me mention. If you are putting that, you submitted the letter to the SABC, let them know to see.
Thanks very much, member. I will integrate this and wait for a next meeting because it might change. I will implement it immediately. Whatever we run.
Just to crown what the Honorable Dambi has said, I think twice you summarized what you are going to write on that letter in that meeting. I came late, but I was there when you summarized. And I think the members were present when you summarized the details that you are going to put in there. I think really the way our colleagues are going on, it leaves, you know, a concern whether we don't trust your ability or something. I don't think it is fair to you, Chairman.
Thank you, member. We will circulate a letter to you, which we have written, but like one of them goes for the same stuff like that. We have attached the entire letter for Honorable Shane with that letter. And then the second is was the issue of the public protector's report with their letter saying they are going to meet on the 24th. Then on the letter we have written, we are seeking a progress report out of their meeting. So those are the two issues as the decision of the meeting. So, but we'll circulate the letter. If members still think that they want to discuss the matter after that, then we can take a decision at that time. But I've done as we have requested. The reason why I wanted to learn on the part of Honorable Killian and the part of the letter is that it's because he's talking to executives. And he will start to talk about the various choices the board might have to appoint the executive. So I say, just raising that to say, that part of the letter is the actually, the person should be accounting is minister more than the board, or the minister myself is ensure that the SABC has the executive as the person who concurrently dealing with the next to take to cabinet and the other things, but also agree with the SABC board and so on. But we should let the letter to you. Can we go to the next one about the MCA position?
I just wanted to understand, because you have now said it's the minister. Now, as far as my knowledge is, with regards to executive appointment, actually the minister is not responsible for that. What happens is that the SABC board advertises and then shortlists the people that they find most suitable, and that then the minister concurs or calls them for further information or whatever. That is my understanding of the processes as they looked in the past. Can I just determine, is that correct? And in terms of what process, is that contained in the Articles of Association? Is it with a compact, shareholders compact? Can we just have a clarity around that? Because I think that is very important, and although we're not directly involved in that process, obviously, the performance of the LABC is affected by the incumbents in positions, etc., and how they get there. And it was from that perspective that I wanted to bring to the attention of the committee, but I accept your ruling on this, that you've written to them. It's just a pity that we have to date not have any response on that. And it means that Friday has left, it's gone, Monday has come and gone, and it's Tuesday, and we still have not had any response. So that is a pity. But the point that I'm making is that executive appointments have a significant impact on the operations. And if my understanding is correct, I would like you to just confirm that that is correct.
Thank you, member.
My colleague has said such a lot of things here. I think really, Chairperson, I would propose that we
we attend the meeting. Because I don't find any substance in what the federal requesting and all this. Nobody said the processes between the shareholder and SABC are not what Honorable Killian has just mentioned, or what has the legislation says, or the law says about it, or the policy. But now, I don't think we are going to sit here and justify what it says and what it doesn't say. It's not going to affect us, champion. Because we all got a knowledge of what is supposed to be happening. And we are not talking about an individual or administrator. We're talking about a board, champion. If a board receives a letter, it must convene a meeting. Now, if you talk about Friday and Monday, we are really being impossible, champion. Therefore, Chairperson, I just plead with you that let us end this thing here.
Now, Ms. Sodin and his colleague, Ms. Chairperson, can I add the meeting with the last question?
Thank you, member. Let's proceed, member, to give you the letter. We can discuss William Chibray, Honorable Killian, where the process is. Members, let's go to the MPDA short meeting. I guess that all members are ready, all parties are ready to deal the short meeting in terms of the MPDA board. As I've indicated, that we have agreed that we are going to shortlist 5 names. Can I give it over to the parties?
Chair, yes, thank you. I have only two nominations. One is number 3, Dr. Adele Moody, and then number 17, Nokogono Aarons.
Thank you. Cole?
Chairperson, I was a little more greedy. I nominated candidate 3, Dr. Adele Moody, candidate 4, Zolelwa Mula Pisis, candidate 17, Ms. Erend, and candidate 18, Ms. Daku. Now, I hope that I will give you the names. I mean, I firmly believe that amongst them we will find a good candidate. But obviously, as I say, I was probably greedy. So if you want me to shorten my list, I'm willing to do that. I didn't intend to take over, not now. And then secondly, please note that I will unfortunately have to come in and out because there is a sitting and I must just coordinate members' participation. Thank you.
Thank you. You do not come to me now that I didn't do the problem for the morning session. Whether I have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We looked at all the series and we are coming with the following recommendations to the committee. Candidate number 2, Delante Diana. Candidate number 3, Dr. Adele Modley. Candidate number 5, Mr. Raja Ramachandra. And then candidate number 17, Ms. Mokuzula Aaron. And candidate number 19, Mr. Jinima Enjicha.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ntambi. Your upright commonality is 3 and 17. I will see.
Sure, I just want clarity on why an existing member of the MBDA board is seeking appointment. I know that he was president's appointment to the board, but I mean, is his term due to expire right now? I'm sure he's a current, board member still for now. He's still on the website as a member of the board.
Yes, Honorable Tag.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and for the good question from Honorable Chair. The members don't want
Honorable.
So the question is, can you make himself available? Not as a semi-friend. No, you remember that he was not there. He was a government, he was representing government, the PWD, and the government. You know he has left the government. It's within his own right to apply to any board that might, board that might depend in the country.
In simple terms, actually, if you consider him in the government, must replace him. As a representative. Yeah, they put their own term, like the other one we appoint. Honorable Chair.
I basically wanted to have clarity about that, Chairperson, because I know a member can serve more than one term, but obviously. If this is before the end of his term, or if he was serving there by virtue of his position in government, in that case, if that's the case, it is wrong then to have him on the website of the NGA. But if he is about to expire because he was a government appointee, then we just need to know when that expiry is coming up, and maybe technically, and the legal advisors can give us advice here, will he have to resign that position before we formally nominate? So yeah, just clarify about that.
Thank you. I'm sure the legal advisors will look into that. I'm going to the common with 3 instances. CA of Tax for 3 and 17, the NC does have 3 and 17, both does have 3 and 17. That's where they finish. If they don't go to Copen the ANC, you've got 19. Which when I hear the discussion, members are not reflecting of the classes which they are looking for. But from the ANC, what is not in COPE is 2, 5, 19. Then COPE is what is 4 and 8. What was
it? Yes, I have a particular concern about candidate 2. You know, obviously if he gets chosen, we need to interrogate this, but he is currently employed by the department and which oversees the MDA. So can he be on the board as an employee? And also he gives his address as London. So will he commute? Is he wrong?
So on South African East London. Okay. No, that's fine. Members, can we move forward and get the other three? Honorable Sheen has clarified his answer on candidate number 2. Except the employment issues.
You see, we have a women empowerment bill before us today. I just want to make the point that we also need to establish the composition of the NDDA board. So I just wanted to make sure that if I'm correct, we're only filling one position, And if so, we will also have to consider gender balance in the board. Because as far as my knowledge is concerned, the outgoing member is a female member. So please, we must look at that complete package as well. Can we also take that into consideration? Chairperson Lynn, I know that you have sort of said, are we prepared to swap? If I look, I think the National Community Radio Forum nomination candidate Aiden is quite a good one. But I'm quite prepared, you know, if you feel that candidate 4 might make way for any of the other candidates, that's fine.
Honorable Killen was saying candidate 18 from the National Community Radio Forum. She's comfortable with that, but she's selected because she wanted to fall in.
The commonality is that she's in the reason for the thing. And then we are bringing 2, 5 in writing. It's 2, 5. Not 5. We're bringing candidate 2, 5 and 19.
I'm most concerned about number 2, being an employee of GCIS and serving on a board of entity that supports the GCIS. I really think that is a serious issue. I mean, you've got to give up one. If he goes on board every day, surely he shouldn't be employed by the people who are here. I'm not sure about that. It's a huge conflict.
I think on that one, if he's on GCIS, then this board is also. So I'm clarifying myself.
Yeah.
On that one, then you cannot be a resident at the same time. Unless if there was indication that it's a previous employment, but if the current one is problematic, yeah, I can agree with that.
So if the ANC, what are we going to talk?
Yeah, we'll have to look like the emphasis on women, as Honorable Glenn has said. Maybe we can be given the opportunity to look at the candidate for an 18. I don't know. Honorable Glenn can address that under 10 because she saw what she wants to say. What skills are we having for an 18? As at the same time, we're looking for the skills.
Thank you. Is 18 a male or female? 4. The type is 4. They are both female.
They are both female.
Okay. Because when I would kill at one point, you would see what they is amenable to 18. But I probably maybe can go through that exercise because if that is the case, then it will compete our list. Because what we are going to have finally, we are going to have 3, 5, Eh? Okay, we are going to have 3, 5, 17, 18, 19. And then we have your phone. But you can clarify the issue of 4 and 18, and we will have time.
I don't think we said we are agreeing to take both 4 and 8. Maybe we choose among the two, between the two.
Okay, Honorable Keelan?
Chairperson, you know, I brought the big book on the SHC profile, and I didn't select my whole book, and so can I quickly just scan through the text on the mention?
Okay.
As I indicated, I would basically, okay, if you quickly just scan through it and just say,
for the benefit of those that are coming to the meeting that are likely to be members of this committee, can I ask the secretary, they've been doing a wonderful job in the past, numbering the CVs and validating them. What could be the first time? Because the commander just said they are not numbered. Normally you use 5 divided. That's not a good time to end like this. What have you been doing in order that to be the first?
Okay, they here. And my wife argued that with the time, but by the time they do that, they put this 180, the number. By the time they put the previous that number. So, I can only say they give you. Conor Muslim?
Chairperson, can I just say that the reason why I have thought that candidate 18 is actually an, quite a good candidate was because of the fact that the candidate also has some legal background, which is also crucial in assisting companies who want to establish themselves in a in either community radio or community newspaper business, etc. So I think that was very important. Secondly, I think it was a good nomination because I was aware that it was made by the National Community Radio Forum. In the case of the candidate 4, apart from the candidate being very clearly a very attractive lady, it is, no, I can say it, if a man says it, it's sexist, but I may say so. A chairperson, but what I found very interesting about the candidate, and that's why I listed the candidate, was because the candidate clearly has some design background and could help with community newspapers, etc., and training, etc. Now, again, the candidate 4 was nominated by Reverend Mamishi Mbulwana. And in the case of and in the case of candidate 18, it was National Community Radio Forum. So from a perspective of broader support, I was therefore more sort of positive towards candidate 18, and that is why I thought that community radio is a huge, huge important field, and that is why my leniency would be towards candidate 18. Thank you.
Thank you, ANC. If you don't differ with Honorable Killian, you will have your 3, 5, 17, 18. In terms of the country, which means that we have your drop number 2 and also a complete drop number 4, and then you remain with 5, 3, 5, 17, 18, 19. Thank you very much. their progress report on the GTA, filling of their vacancies. The committee, after having received and considered the request from the minister in the presidency, performance, monitoring and evaluation, as well as administration, to the National Assembly to recommend a candidate in terms of Section 4 of the MDDA Act of 2002 to fill a vacancy that has arose due to expiry of the term of Ms. Nortando Migogo as a member of the MDDA Board on the 31st of December 2013, referring to it for consideration and report. The committee invited public invited the public to nominate a person for consideration and recommendation to the president for the appointment to the board by means of advertisement in the print media. The committee received 19 nominations and subsequently shortlisted the following five candidates: Dr. Adele Mood, Mr. Rata Ramadrape, Ms. Nobu Zola, Eric, Ms. Koliswa Dako, and Mr. Jimmy Manu. That will be our report, members. Probably what we'll discuss later in accepting the report is that we're now conducting the interview. Any move on the stakeholder of the report? Honorable Chief? Or you second? After Honorable Rosa has moved. Okay. Honorable Chief, you second. No, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Members, that will conclude the issue of the report and the shortlisting. Now the issue that when are we collecting the interviews, can I get some views from you? Honorable Tam, or I'll see Honorable Tammy.
Chair, I would suggest that we have the interviews on this afternoon, because otherwise it's got to be done on Friday, I would assume. And if we are quick with our questions and don't drag it out, we can finish it in the afternoon.
No, Chairperson, I don't know why I think you're not smart. In the first place, Honorable Mutami had her hand up. Now that she feels that what Honorable said, she needs to say is favoring me, she doesn't want to commit. I proposed that we interview on Friday. Now that there are two people talking about this day, I want to know what is it that we are doing on this day? Are we busy or is it an open day? But you see, I want to explain why I was suggesting Friday. We are making it a habit that we work until Thursday and Friday. We cannot work. Friday is a working day. But hence I had that proposal that we meet on Friday. Nevertheless, if the Thursday is clear, we can have it. I can compromise. I had other reasons that I think I won't explain here why I was emphasizing Friday when I spoke to the ANC component. And good luck to you, Dan, that in his proposed Thursday. We have some seeing that.
Thank you very much, member. We can never to have our No, we conduct our interview Thursday, but as you know that they will have to apply to get permission to do that. It means if we don't get permission for Thursday, which I hope that the support staff will try to do it while we proceed with the SAPC planning so that it is like ahead of business today. We can get anything that we will allow approval or not to maintain it. If we fail to get approval, it means they will have to report back to the site. But I hope that this is something to be by the end of business of today or any morning so that we are clear. But we'll apply for the SA. Thank you very much, members. We are done with the shortlist of MCDA and also the issue of the interviews to tentative to be tested. News will start after lunch. I hope it will stick to what they've agreed about questions and so on. Thank you, member. That will conclude the hotlisting and the date for the interview for MCDA. Now, members, can we go to the SADC board interview? We're supposed to start the first candidate at that past end, and now the time is 10:45. We are 20 minutes behind. I hope we'll make up the time. We will have behind with and see how far we go in terms of finishing. If we go up according to the program, we will finish the interviews after 3. And I've been told that the ICASA amendment will be in this afternoon and so on, but I think it will be done by that time. Thank you, members. Probably tea is not here. If we had tea, I was going to say let's take tea, and then before we start partying, I start shaking. But if it's not here, probably, members, we can have Oh, okay. Now, members, probably let's break for 10 minutes just for tea, then we start today. Thank you. Members, we have to start. The fewer we have, the better. Thank you so much, welcome, Ms. Katwan. Feel free, relax. I hope they keep bringing the coolant in a car for it not to be too hot. This is what you call a coolant, which you put in the water and it cools down the car. But in case the water was fine. I hope they take a solution from the system, which is before you. When you talk to friends, when you are done, you switch off. Members of Parliament will ask you questions in the multi-party committee. You will see that other members will be joining us in a program. If you don't understand the question, probably you must increase so that a member repeats the question. Just write down your questions and the members are asking the question, then you will be afforded an opportunity to respond. We're looking to have the interview for 45 minutes or so. Our approach is that we are starting at 11 instead of our first 10, as we originally anticipated to start. But nevertheless, you are here, we are before us. You are most welcome. My name is Kumbuzo Eric Holland, facilitating the session. Members, when they ask you questions, they will introduce themselves. Thank you. You see, I'm not finished there, raising their hands. I'm delaying them. They are fired up. Honorable Shin, Honorable Nivon Rokan.
Good morning, Sutton. I wanted to know why you choose to get involved in the broadcasting industry and what value you would add to the SABC board. Also, could you please explain to me the difference between an executive board director and a non-executive board director? What is your understanding? SABC has been suffering a fairly steady decline in audience. What do you think is the reason for this, and what do you think that they should do to encourage an increase in viewership? And I don't know if you can keep abreast of the current crises within the SABC, one of which is the scarcity of skills in the entire executive management layer of the SABC. But how do you think the board should rectify that issue? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Watch Tochen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome to this interview. My name is, I'm a woman of mission. I'd like to ask you, what is your understanding of digital migration? What do you know about digital media? What is this something short? And how digital migration can benefit SABC? And what is the people of South Africa? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Those are the two questions I'm raising now. Madam Hassan, you may respond. Sometimes I hear some of the candidates later they complain. I'm not sure whether the system is working here. If it is working, I don't know why it's broadcasting. If it is broadcasting, we might have said that you are live on one of the channels somewhere. So, but that does not mean any more your response. It is just to make you aware. You may respond.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for having me back. And thank you for your interesting question. I'm going to go in order of how they were asked. Why be involved in broadcasting, and that are you that have to offer on the board? As a young South African woman, I think that as a kind of, I have a lot of experience in different fields. I have experience in politics, I have experience in social development, I have experience in sports, I have experience in business, and I have experience in multiple. And the main reason why I actually need to be nominated is more of my growing interest in the business side of broadcasting. It's a very interesting sector that is growing and changing fast every day. Internationally, businesses and corporations and broadcast institutions are integrating by each other and overtaking each other every day. And I think that in Africa and South Africa, we need to be at the forefront of that, because that's the only way we have, because of the main years we have in generative society, growing our economy, and ensuring that we have an African economy that is owned by us. And I think that broadcasting is at the center of growing the South African economy. It's at the center of educating people, it's at the center of informing people, it's at the center of entertaining people, it's at the center of shaping society and communities. It encapsulates everything that I'm passionate about, everything that I pursue as an activist. And I personally love the business activist because I am answered a question recently in an interview where they said, where do I see myself in the next 5 years? I said, I see myself as one of those young businesses in Africa that are disrupting international businesses, that are leaders in African markets, because I think that's the only way that we will be able to own and shape Africa. So that's the kind of value that I would bring. My general interest and the general knowledge I have acquired in terms of all the sectors that are involved in broadcasting and what broadcasting can do to shape South Africa for a better place. And what is the difference between an executive and an executive board member? Executive members are the people who are in management of the business, who are doing the day-to-day management and running up the corporation. So they employ in the corporation your group executive officer, your CFO, your COO. And they basically report to the board. The board is constituted by 12 non-executive members, which are people from outside, drawn from society with different interests and expertise. And they are non-executive because they're not executing any direct tasks inside the organization on a day-to-day basis. And why is it kind in CBC viewership? I think it's the competitive nature of broadcasting currently. With the digitalization of broadcasting media, it means that there's a lot of competition, and SABC has to position itself and provide a unique selling point that would increase its viewership. And I think a lot of media houses are generally trying to reposition themselves in this new digital world that we're in. And I think also with, you know, people being able to afford paid television, subscription television, such as DSTV and the new ETV multi-channel platform, they want to be able to access what they feel like. Unfortunately, at this juncture where SABC is so analog and so SABC 1, 2, 3, for instance, in radio and TV, you know, it's very difficult for people to choose what they want. They have to watch, you know, specific, you know, it's a very linear process that you have currently in the analog system. Whereas, you know, when you have the TV, very non-linear, I'm able to download from the internet, and I certainly am a huge consumer of television. For instance, I like buying a series at a time, this whole weekend and watch that series. That's currently not available on SABC. To increase viewership, I think the fact that we're moving into digital is very important. But I also, for instance, I like the kind of SABC repeating some of their old shows. I was pregnant last year and I was enjoying the repeat of Good Nights. I'm enjoying the repeat now of Anything Is in Fever. So the fact that we have a lot of local content that we've generated and own, that is something that we can use to commercialize in the future, that can also generate an income. But also I think, I'm not sure if it happens, but I know that maybe the SABC should position itself as a more citizen-owned institution. I haven't come across, for instance, a survey or feedback session with SABC while looking for feedback from the community. But every other month or so, I get an email from DSTV wanting feedback on the survey. And also, I think because of the nature of the institution of SABC, there's a very, the turnaround time is too long. Whereas other commercial institutions are able to procure local content and have it on air in 4 months, I think the SABC might take too long. You might procure programming that's only going to air in two years' time. And also, the SABC is a bit sensitive, for instance, when it comes to reality TV, which is what people are going towards, as much as people hate reality TV, is what it is. Look at the popularity of a show like Kumbula Kaya. Reality TV taking all the other channels we're competing against here at home have taken up reality TV, so that it hasn't. Whereas it can also be an income generation stream as well. You can get a lot of sponsorship to run reality TV shows. Diversity of skills within the SABC. You know, SABC has a very good and deep legacy, and many people will be proud to be associated with the organization. And I think as the organization goes through towards digitalization, I'm sure the model is going to change. And I think maybe it's not a bad thing to have a few vacancies now, because at least the people who could be employed are people who will be relevant for the new model that we're moving towards. But I have no doubt that in South Africa there are skills that are available. For instance, you look at skills regarding technology and IT, which is something that's going to be very big, especially in this digital migration time. And I think that's going to be very, you know, as of course, you know, ABC has qualified, it's back contract, stable again, and it will be easy to attract skilled people once again. What's my understanding of digital migration? Digital migration is a little bit from using from analog transmission to digital transmission. And the reason why analog is being phased out by 2015 is because it takes too much bandwidth, which means that there are fewer signals available, which means there can be fewer television and radio stations online, whereas digital bandwidth is used, so there can be more television stations, radio stations, and content moving all the time. And this obviously is a great thing for South Africa and SABC, but obviously it poses a challenge for SABC in terms of competition, because digital media makes media from everywhere, all over the world, available 24 hours a day. And as hopefully data becomes cheaper, it means that people will be able to access media information off their phones and laptops and iPads easily. So digital media is basically more about accessing information, programming through other media like your iPad, your phone, computers, and not just your television. So also, the good thing about digital media is that wherever you are, you have access to information, you have access to TV, you have access to radio. Digital migration will benefit South Africans a lot, because first of all, it will mean all types of information and programming being available to empower and grow, power the economy, entertainment, all sorts of information, things that you wouldn't ordinarily access on time. The most important thing is having information and programming available to you on time, immediately, like right now, if I wanted to access the Oscar Pistorius trial that's going on the iPad. But more than anything, it will connect us. You won't feel like, you know, sometimes I'm sitting at home and not breaking Bumalang and I'm hearing that theoretical idea of concerts happening in Joburg or things I really wanted to see after they happened. But now there's no reason why that should happen. It will connect us to communities, as communities, as South Africans, to the world.
Thank you very much. Honorable Rosa, your name was next. Honorable Lazi, please follow.
Good morning. Good day, Dominique. What do you think about it? What is your understanding of the mandate of the SABC in terms of the broadcasting of 1999? That's number four. And also the ECA. I see on your CV that you are a political economist. And at this point in time, you had what the president said, and it was and so on, that as from now, in South Africa, we will be focusing on really building a social economy. And I think these are some of the areas that we need to focus on. What would be your if you happen to be involved, what would be your advice on the funding model that the SABC is dealing with at the moment? What do you think the role of the SABC is in times like this when this election happens? Do you think that SAP should be biased towards a certain party, or what is expected? If you were to be a board member, how would you handle things in terms of your relationship with feeling I'm quite informed about what is happening in the present. And you know, with the problem that we have been had on the board, or that we have been operating. And you know the relationship that you're there between executive and the board, that's the reason why I'm asking. I think Kevin and I end up there because your language is so fast. And she's encouraging some of us to ask more questions when we're not even supposed to do so. No, I am fascinated by the way you ask the doctor, there's nothing wrong. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mutra. Honorable Lal, please.
Thank you. Your recent findings by the Capcom Consortium leaves the nation not to say, about the abuse of power by the executive board and mainstream. Can you ensure the nation that you will not abuse this power and if you are the custodian of the power, how will you approach some of your colleagues if they have been
abused? Thank you. Ms. Kaplan.
My understanding of the Broadcasting Act, of the mandate of the ADBC in terms of the Broadcasting Act and the ECA, when I remember now a few years ago, I used to pass an SABC billboard, and I think the tagline at the time was "Wacky." You know, it could be interpreted, misinterpreted, well, depending how you pronounce it, Rapizwe or Rapizwe, which speaks to the vision of the ADBC, which is total citizen empowerment, which means the ADBC is tasked with ensuring that it informs, educates, and entertains people holistically. And when I was reading that, I'm not gonna lie, I use the Red X in preparation. It's not something I come across every day, but I use the X in preparation for the interview. It really hit me how huge the mandate of the SABC is and how easier it is for a TV station just to be operating on a mandate that we wanna, it's a commercial station, which is to be entertaining and make money. The issues that the SABC has to deal with are the issues that we confront on a daily basis. It has to look at issues of helping people, first of all, looking at the constitutional issue, such as creating a nation that's united in its diversity. And as I was thinking about that statement, it hit me that in order for us as a nation to be united in our diversity, we first have to individually feel equal in our diversity. So as a woman, I must feel equal to a man, and a man must view me equally to himself. As a black woman, as a black person, black, you know, a race, we need to be viewed as equally and feel equally. Disabled people, children, rural, urban, so many of these different sectors and dynamics that we need to deal with. We also specifically have to speak in terms of people who have the lack of infrastructure, whether it's forcing infrastructure, driving a developmental agenda, driving a social cohesion agenda, driving an economic growth agenda, driving a transformation agenda, driving an inspirational agenda, driving an aspirational agenda. All of these things are tied into what the SABC has to try and achieve. And you know, I had to rate the SABC and I thought about it, they're not doing too badly under the current conditions that prevail. And I think also what I like about what the SABC has done is that it had a very clear understanding of it. Of different segments that is covered through the radio stations and through the TV stations. Is there room for improvement? Definitely is. And I think that as we migrate into digital and the more opportunity for different programming to be brought in, we'll be able to even address the different mandates and the shortages and the gaps more efficiently. When it comes to the funding model, running the SABC as a business, that's something I'm very interested in as a board member. If I was to be a board member, I would love to be on the commercial committee. Because I do think there's a lot of opportunities to get more money in terms through advertising, through sponsorships especially. But also, the other day I was thinking, I think a friend of mine got to meet while I was with her, about where the SABC is taking legal actions against her or her TV license. And I thought, you know, maybe if the SABC were to explain to people and give them ownership of the SABC, because people need to know that it's actually ours as citizens, and why it's important for us to have a TV license, like make it a more different type of communication when it comes to TV license. And I think you'll find that it's easier to create for people to pay than the current very hostile and aggressive manner. But I understand where that is coming from. But I think that we need to find, especially moving into digital, we need to find a better way of working with corporates to raise money for sponsorship programs. For instance, I just noticed that the head of Easy Team has been able to have run sponsorships of Gumtree. So I'm sure Gumtree paid for them to be mentioned so many times and explain what they're about through the general storyline. And then recently, I'm not sure if it's the government institution, but I assume they also paid Saka as well in the storyline of Saka running through there. So those kinds of things need to continue, but also we need to look at programming. What is it that we SABC is doing to ensure that it's offering programming that is what people want to watch, especially with the new channel that DSTV has, the Zansi Hawk, the Zansi Magic, yeah. But those, you can see that there's a definite move that people like those. And Generation Z Jingle, I watch Jingle, I know generations are not, and not in Mubango, which means our cookies are really good, so we need more of that. And maybe that's of days of our life, I'm not sure. But we need to have more programming that people want to see and that is unique that only we can do. And I think we should focus a lot on local content. And that's easier for us to be able to monetize. And I also think that we need to increase efficiencies in terms of IT systems within SABC, especially in terms of programming. For me, it doesn't make sense for business to procure a program 2 years ago and only air it after 24 months since you procured it. It means you've been, money is just sitting there, you've wasted money where money has been used out there. So we need to improve our technical and IT efficiency. The other thing that I was thinking of was how SABC, for instance, SABC 3, which is what brings in most of the subsidies from the US, which are always like 5 years or 6 years later than what happened. I thought maybe, you know, maybe to get that sponsor, maybe to play it in a different way. But those are kind of things that would be easier once we move into a digital age. What do I think of the role of the SABC at times, like during elections? I think the SABC has never been more important, and I think no, with the increase of community radio stations, the increase of other commercial radio stations, community and commercial radio stations, it's ever been more important for the SABC to show itself as unbiased and stay broadcaster. And I think there needs to be programming around the elections all the time now, where there's a lot of, you know, what I really like and I enjoy is a lot of dialogue. It's a policy dialogue, you know, so that we can see what policies are they talking about, so that they can also be interrogated by people. So, you know, radio shows where people can phone in and political parties debating on policy issues, so we understand what policies they're talking about, and those who are in opposition, if they're talking about some grand policy, how they feel that which happened. Because I think a lot of us are quite aware that running a government isn't as easy and simple as that. So I would love to see more debates on TV, more, you know, in-depth covering of policy issues, in-depth covering of political party work, party community work, and not just grand statements being made through the news over one interview. I really enjoyed some of the analysis we've seen in terms of, you know, the political party manifestos. But I do think that we need to have more in-depth coverage of policy issues by all political parties. How would I handle the relationship with the executive in light of the problems that the ABC have? I own a business in which I have to go and find funding myself, and I also report, I'm a managing director and report to a board. And how I like the relationship between myself and the people I report to as an executive is one of support, where you create a relationship that is supportive, where there's open communication. The board is not there to try and nail you or make your life difficult. It's there to try and enable you to do your work better, but also ensure that there are controls and systems that ensure that...
That's what I hear a person in a gentleman check from what that is.
It does happen in all organizations where different leadership levels disagree and come to disrespect one another. But I think that when you keep communication open, it's just in ensuring that it doesn't deteriorate to impact the organization negatively. And I think that also if it's run as a concern, as a business concern, in which everyone has an interest in seeing it succeed, there's no reason why the board and the executive cannot work together. But it's also just an act of understanding each other and not being too aggressive in trying to impose how things should be done. The last question that I have is regarding the public protector findings about the abuse of power. The question is, how can I ensure that there won't be an abuse of power, and what will I do if this occurs? If I'm appointed to be a member of the board, it still matters to me how the work of the board reflects on me. I have great ambitions for myself, and those ambitions, especially being in the business world, means that my reputation as a person is very fickle. And so it would be important for me at all times to be involved in something that is seen to be uphold ethics and to be an organization of integrity. And I've been in many positions where I have been able, and I'm not afraid to speak the power, truth to power. And ultimately, I think that if the reason why I'm interested in being a member of the board is because I do want to see the SABC realize its mandate. And I won't be doing my duty if I allow power to be abused and I don't speak up against it and I allow that to derail. But importantly, I also always want to present myself as a person of integrity, and I won't allow anyone, anything to undermine that. That was the last question.
Thank you very much. And that question was the last question from Honorable Murata, and Honorable Lanzi. Members, any other question? Mutambi?
Regarding my qualifications, I think it's on the CV where list the subject that will be done. I've written that the thesis part is still to be completed, which is what is outstanding. That's what I'm currently busy with. I've done all the coursework. It's a research and coursework master's. I've completed the coursework. I just currently write the thesis for it. And that's why I included a statement, so you can see that, because it does say in the statement that it's not completed. Regarding the question on how corporate governance in terms of TFMA, Companies Act, and King 3 has been observed by the past board, I think that they have been some major loopholes which led to the collapse eventually of the previous board. But I think when I read through the annual report, I think that they had measures in place which were meant to ensure that there's success in meeting. For instance, they had the audit committee, they had the risk committee and the finance committees. But I think that in terms of the relationship between the board and the executive is what also causes some problems. And I think that generally when it comes to specific implementation, because this is what, you know, that's the best way to implement all of these acts, is through systems. All the board could do is to ensure that there are policies in place and that the policies are then implemented through systems. And I think that the major loophole is in the system that they have to be implemented at the level of the corporation. And for me, that's one of the most important things to put in place. A business or an organization cannot function adequately to meet its goals and to meet its financial prescripts for the prescripts of the TFMA or the Companies Act. Those things cannot happen without systems, and I think that's what we need to do to improve, especially the internal controls through the IT systems, which are readily available. It's not something that has to be created from scratch. And like I was when I was reading through the committees that do currently exist, I felt that a major and important committee out of being interested in participating in is the risk committee, because the risk committee impacts on the very business of all aspects of the business of the corporation, whether it's HR, finance, procurement, everything is under that. So the for me most important thing is strengthening our system. And what is the view of out of the channel? I flipped through, you know, between ESDA and SABC, and what draws me more to the SABC 24 hours channel is that the diversity of content on it. So it's not just a repetition of news, a news loop throughout. There's more content, more diversification of content, more it's got more documentary, more informative on a wide range of things. So I do think that fortunately some of the content is a bit old. They do use some old content, so it doesn't look as sharp in terms of the picture quality. But in terms of quality, I think that SABC has always been one of the best in terms of journalism and editorial and content generation. So I think it's doing pretty well. I quite like it.
10 minutes left.
It's a follow-up question. Ma'am, I believe when you apply for this board membership, you understand that you will share it with that family. I've read the question on your qualifications, and you are saying on your CV, you indicated that the degree is incomplete. Because you see, the way you put your qualification in the CV, it seems as if you have got this MC, right? Like what you've done with that. And there's no writing in your CV where it's in that you're still doing the degree, accept any academic record that we want to see, right? But then I was saying it does not disclose that certificate that you do, and you have recorded in the city one of the qualifications. That was my issue.
Thank you, Ms. Kaisman.
If I could, you know, I don't know, if I could see, maybe I know that the attribute that you have put there, what you heard was completed, but it was in no way my intention to mislead, otherwise I wouldn't have included my qualifications, which makes it clear that I haven't completed it. The only reason why I do list it in my degree, in my CV, is so that you can see which subjects I have actually done, what the degree actually covers, so it's my mistake if it's mispresented.
Another
one. So I've got no intention of delaying. You see, if Mdami didn't interrogate this, no one would have discovered, because I didn't hear anyone was asking the question. You see how misleading that is, because he really has no qualification. So,
maybe she wants us to show the CV of herself that she knows the CV that she presented to Parliament. There's no way in the CV, because the way she put the academic history, she shows that she has got all the scholarships, including the LC. But if she wants to see the CV, but she knows the diversity, that's the most critical aspect that we're supposed to even put on the
Thank you. And Ms. Katsana?
Like I said, I have no intention of making a comment.
Okay, no, that's done. Earlier you were saying SABCs are not good enough in terms of motivation or marketing for South Africans who pay their team licenses. Are you paying your team license?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Remember, will that conclude the interview for Ms. Katwan? I hope everyone has a question, those who were able to ask. Thanks very much. That will conclude our interview with you. All the best. Thank you. We'll try so that the voting system we started with her at 11 o'clock. We're supposed to finish with her at 11:45. Now it's 12:30. If you look at the camp, to go for the voting, that was taken out of the 45. I will be the 45. But outside here so far. But I'm saying, many times we were paying, but it's okay. We are most welcome. You can take your seat. Thank you very much. Let me start by apologizing for the starting time. We had two challenges. One, we had to go to the house of voting, which also impacted in terms of our time. But you are most welcome. I'm pretty sure that you're familiar with the parliament's operation in terms of the machines pressing and unpressing and so forth. Actually, the system was designed by some of you when the parliament had a few points as you would wear here. We are most welcome, Mr. Chiro. Besides your public representatives, we will be asking you questions.
in relation to your nomination to the SABC, of course, the MRG Party Committee. Members will introduce themselves as they are asking you questions, as Kumbulo and Kola Nibashi in the process. I don't know whether they are testing the bells or they are being the bells. Member, Mrs. Chosen Teru is here for your question. Honorable Chief.
Thank you, Vision. Good afternoon, Chio. Is that how you pronounce it? Chio? My name is Marion Shin. On reading your CV, you're an exceptionally busy man. You're a divisional executive at ESCOM. I think you serve on 14 boards or bodies. And I just want to know what it is about the SABC, the position on the SABC board, that attracts you to crowd it into your schedule already. Why would you want to spend time with the SABC? What motivates you to seek a position on the board? Then I want to ask you, do you have a particular affection for broadcasting? Why do you want to get involved with broadcasting? And I'm sure that you're very much aware of the current crises at the SABC, both regarding the public protectors report and the skills audit recently, which showed that the top management was bereft of appropriate qualification and experience. What could you, as a board member, do to correct those circumstances that led to the current crisis that the SABC board is in? And what role do you think, how active do you think non-executive directors should be in putting the SABC back onto an even keel? Thank you.
Thank you. You look serious.
Thank you for the opportunity, Chairman and members of the committee. I'll try my level best to respond to all the questions asked, and if I forget to respond to your question, I highly appreciate it if members can remind me, and I'll try my level best to do so. First of all, member, is that serving the South African Broadcasting Corporation, I think his emphasis is on the way you use serve. I see that as serving my country. It's an opportunity. I just believe that when Parliament calls upon South Africans to make themselves available for a number of positions, if they think they've got the qualifications, which I think I do, they should make themselves available. This gives confidence to state institutions. It would be a shame if at any point in time, if Parliament advertises for a position and people do not make themselves available, because it will not give confidence to state institutions. That is why the South African Broadcasting Corporation, why I wanted to do so. Now, to broadcasting. Now, you were called member, but if you look at my CV, my strength is in information communication technology. Now, there was a time when we did the Telecommunications Act 1.3 of 1996, where we had broadcasting separate from telecommunication, separate from signal distribution. Now, since we brought all of this together, and the interrelationship, intertwined to the extent that I have, over a number of years, created and enabled her skills also in broadcasting. So when I talk broadcasting, I talk telecommunication, I talk signal distribution. They are all intertwined, so there isn't that clear, from our point of view. And in fact, I'm the president of the Information Technology Association. Some of my members are from the broadcasting sessions. So when I talk to my members, I talk to people in broadcasting, information, computer, and all that. So that is why broadcasting. Now, crisis. leading organizations is a challenge and a very difficult thing. But if you look at the annual report of the South African Broadcasting Corporation for 2013 that was tabled, and you read the opening remarks of the chairperson of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, you then understand that they at least understand the challenges that faces them. That's what we mean a crisis. A crisis is if you don't even know what the challenges are. And I have had members of the portfolio committee detail what the issues are. So what we need is a board and management to really focus and address those issues, because they've been articulated for them and they have articulated them for themselves. So I don't think that it is so much of a crisis. Probably it is from lack of skills, focus on those issues. So I don't think it is a crisis. A crisis is if you don't even know what's happening, what's your problem. Then that's a crisis. I am not underestimating the challenges that they are facing. But I'm really, of course, we use the word crisis from time to time, but I felt good inside when the chairperson was able, in a statement which is extremely important, with the table in front of you every year, and say, these are the challenges. I felt good within that, because I would have felt very bad if she was, you know, window shopping, window dressing and all, but I think she went to the heart of the matter. She actually had one point at the bottom, actually says, these are the issues, and she tables them one by one. Skills. I read that about skills. Unfortunately, if you, South African Broadcasting Corporation and many organizations in this country are one element of the whole society. Skills in South Africa are a major problem. If you go to any other organization, when I sit as a vice president of the American Chamber of Commerce, where you have companies like Microsoft, Cisco, IBM, Mission Data, and all of them are struggling to get skills. You know, skills have become a major problem, and that is why one of the things that companies, the South African Broadcasting Corporation should do, is working together with business to find the ways and means of ensuring that we find ways of capacitating not only for the SABC, look at how as a state institution and how as business and how as labor, we can all work together to ensure that we have skills available to be able to deal with the challenges that we are facing. Many countries have that serious problems of skills. The way in which technology is moving is leaving most of us behind, both from the legislative point of view and generally from the school's point of view, but we are unable to keep up with the development outside. My contribution, I think I can make a contribution. That is why I'm sitting here and really appreciate this opportunity to come here. First of all, I have the educational qualification to be able to do so. I also have a wealth of experience, education. I was a teacher for 16 years, and 5 of those years I was a principal of the school. I've been an assistant teacher, a head of the department, a deputy principal, and a principal. I was also the chairman of the principal's council, and I also served in the teacher association. So, from that point of view, I have a broad and deep understanding, and that can actually capacitate and assist to join the board of the SADC and join these men and women who have faced these challenges from an education point of view to make a contribution. The second point is that the companies that I've worked for, I've worked in Parliament and deeply understand legislation and how to make legislation. I was part of the team, the very first team that put together the rules of Parliament, of this new Parliament. I was part of a team that was behind the scene as we drafted the constitution of this country. And many, many pieces of legislation at conception. So I think from that point of view, I understand the obligations of the South African Broadcasting Corporation to this committee. I understand very deeply. The next thing is I then went for TELO. That is where I started with a deeper understanding.
That's right.
Thank you.
That's right. Thank you, dear person. I'm Woman New Evolution. I know you in the communication portfolio. And I'm quite aware that you are still, you know quite a lot, but I'd like to explain to us maybe your understanding of digital migration. Explain that to us and why it is so important for South Africa. Why it's so important for the public of South Africa. Secondly, if you can say to us, you know, digital migration, its meaning, what does it mean? And of course, you were saying that you're in the education field, and you spoke about the lack of skills in our country. As a teacher, as a former teacher, and if you look at the SABC, how will you position the SABC that we can get and accept the best skills in the SABC? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Rocha. She's saying she reminds him of Dr. Nguma.
Do you, your spouse, partner, or associate hold an office or is employed by any or the organization? Whether corporate or incorporate, which has a direct and indirect financial interest in the affairs of the state, in the nature contemplated in the Broadcasting Act. That is, I suppose, you are quite conversant. I'm going to read out the other question because it has a lot of connotations. Do you believe the current funding model is feasible? What would you do differently in order to end the long-term self-financial sustainability of corporations? In your view, how and who should be responsible for financing public broadcasting? What should be the state's role in this regard? What purpose should broadcasting serve? Is reliance on commercial sources of financing acceptable for public broadcasting, considering it supposed existence the desire to shelter the cultural sector from commercial threats? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Rosa. Honorable Shi, you wanted to follow?
I just want some clarity on your time availability. This is you're really busy. I mean, you've got a full-time job that should probably take up 14 hours of a day, and then you're on to belong to 14 other organizations. Will you really have the time to add SABC to your itinerary?
Thank you.
Well,
thank you for my national member of the committee. I wanted to say, Chairperson, let me appreciate and thank him for showing interest to show this as a campaign interview. But my first question would be a build up from one of Shin's questions. Qualifications will be undivided access to the institution that you seek to assert, which you assert. Your current senior position that you hold, do you honestly and sincerely believe that you have time? Or does that class of pressure? We wouldn't have shortlisted you if you don't qualify. But the issue is that how can you demonstrate to us that you will also give undivided attention to the SABC board as a main with an appreciation of the challenges that you've already articulated the way you have. Secondly, with the experience that you have today, can give us racial experience, can give us an example or a scenario that will demonstrate to us in terms of ensuring that you will, one, if you are fortunate to be appointed as a board member, one of the board members today, one, the FAPC is dealing with the issue of the skills audit as a day, but parallel to that, I'm expected also to give our audit money, how we would ensure that those two parallel purposes or activities or actions do at the end of the financial year give positive results in terms of the performance of the institution we make. The last one, Chair Person, from here that I would like to ask. Can you kindly describe and explain possible strategic scenario that you are in the prospect? Can you tell us regarding aggressive management in enhancing the performance of SAPC in general now, not only on skills? SAPC 3 channels, which have witnessed a declining audience and revenue collection. Okay. In terms of our putting to ensure that there is an increase in terms of the audience and also an increase in terms of revenue collection. In the SBC as a corporation.
What
strategy? What strategy that you influence the board to take a broader strategy to increase the audience and increase the revenue collection? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councilor.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman. My first question is again interlinked to the two questions already raised by another question and another group and the former is in relation to the applicant's current position as divisional executive of corporate affairs in ESCOM. You will recall that ESCOM is a state-owned entity and the Public Service Commission has already developed regulations with regard to employees doing other administrative work outside their own work to minimize a lack of productivity, because mainly when public servants are doing other responsibilities outside of their own employment, they focus on the other thing, the public service work stuff. I know you're from ESCOM, and then what is ESCOM's position with regard to you sharing in both and other entities? Definitely there has to be some form of permission. Did you show that permission to serve in other circles? Because I see on your CV, you are serving in a lot of structures. Secondly, on a lighter note, on your CV, you were born on the 31st of May, and I'm thinking different May when which year, but nevertheless, I don't know your ID. To say maybe in the future, just to say that you are me, and it ends there. I didn't know yet, but actually now I shared and then I finally got the idea. I was looking at that in particular, looking at your past experience and qualification, which is much more comfortable. And I've also noted that you attended the program with the Institute of Directors, which I believe you are also a member of the IOD. And my question is around corporate governance. There's been a lot in the spotlight about the corporate governance issues in the entity itself. And then, with your skills, how will you ensure that the SABC comply with the PFMA, the Constitution of the Republic, including the Companies Act? And then I also want you to share with us your understanding on this issue of the Dream for Our New Channel on JTV. What do you view on that one? The 24-hour news channel is on JTV, 404. What do you view on that? What do you think on that one? Yes. Okay, thank you so much. I want to introduce myself. I'm Honorable Faith Mutami, member of Parliament.
Thank you. Honorable.
Otherwise, you'll miss.
Honorable Morocco.
I'm sure you will try.
provide teachers.
और आप क्या कर रहे हैं? One day you will say no to them, but you can उसके
I also interested myself on Honorable Chasu Fulu Bekshu, Honorable Tekana from cheap to very cheap. Yeah, no, I heard you say you were Vice President of Chamber of Commerce. Oh, I'm very thankful for that. I'm shocked, man, to hear that somebody stand before me as a vice president of Chamber of Commerce, the number one economic superpower in the world. But even if my question is, now that you've been in commerce, what do you think could be a good funding model for SAPC? You know, the issue of unfairness and industry dominating SAPC because of our advent. I mean, the one who takes the five-part concession. How do you think SAPC could perform better by having a solid financial model which doesn't actually incline it to depend on industry or any other outside further outside influence, just a funding money. You know what the dynamics are in partnership in the second top men, and you know how they can manipulate and the power play there. So what do you think is the best funding money for the SAPC? Would you partner with the issue of influence and advent, or do you think it must take a different route? And what is that good?
Thank you so much for that, Mugagan. And that is Chef.
Thank you once more again to the members of that with the questions about the digital migration. First of all, the simplest of the explanation simply moving from analog to digital, and which has been done not only in the broadcast industry but in many, many other industries where people move from analog to digital. It's an extremely good thing for the South African Broadcasting Corporation. It's a world of endless possibility. You know, if you want to, in a simple sense, with analog, there are only a few things that you can do. And with digital, as I say, limitless possibilities. But I'll focus one important one. It's one of the most expensive and most important resources of a country is the spectrum. And my ability to exploit the spectrum and to be able to make it available to as many members of the public as possible is a very good thing. And digital migration enables you to be able to do so, you know. The next thing is, whilst we should not underestimate the cost of migration, the challenges of migrations, we spoke about skills now, for example, about the challenges we have. Whilst we not underestimate that, the most important thing is it is much more cost-effective and much more cheaper to run an digital environment. A bouquet of services that can make available to the public, unlimited. So I'm actually stop there, and a member wants to ask much more deeper questions around the issue. I mean, it's a whole big, you know, a lot of debate about this, but I think our country doing is one of, it's a good thing. We want to benefit. There are disadvantages of using that, and that means, but the advantages far out. Are far more than the disadvantages that we have. And one of them is the skills. You have the necessary skills to be able to deal with the environment on the other side after you've migrated. You see, that's one of the issues. How are you to deal with that? My family might conflict of interest as contemplated by the Act. No, my wife does not work for the South African Work, not my member, nor my kids. They don't work in the, and I must say I don't know of any of my family members who is closely related or working for any of the broadcasting institutions in South Africa. So, family model, this is a very challenging question. It's been asked by two members. Funding for everything under the Act is a challenge. And the South African Broadcasting Corporation or broadcasting is just one of those things that are difficult to deal with. That's my point. Now, when we come to the South African Broadcasting Corporation itself, first of all, there's a public money. Therefore, the state needs to put more in, and we recognize the limited resources that the state has, but the state has to put more. We recognize it at the same time, but the world must understand that over some time, the state will have to reduce the amount of money that they put in, so that the commercial side can be able to make a contribution. Because the state hand does not have the importance be like, if we gave 100 this year, next year we'll apply the CPIS and then increase in which can't address. There must be a point where the state institution has to be sustainable. And the question I think you're asking is, how do they do that? As you know, the state, yes, must make a contribution, but the state has to make other contributions to other institutions. How do you come here? And that's where the commercial side must come in. And that will answer another question that came from the members behind there about one of the channels. The most important thing is you have to increase your audiences. Your audiences translate into revenue. When I sit in my office as a businessman, and I want to think about my communication marketing, how do I reach my customers? What are the platforms out there that I can use? I think about the newspaper, I think about social media, and I must think about radio, I must think about broadcasting. So that's the Broadcasting Corporation must ensure that in that thinking, the teachers, they come to the dashboard, that I can know that if I want my product to reach my target market, it is the platform of choice. And I think with the board and management working together can come up with the strategies of ensuring that we do that, and that's how we increase. And one of the things that we have to do so is when you have your public mandate, there is an intimate relationship between this commission and public. But one, in the public side, the stories you tell, local content, you tell people about themselves, they will come and watch. If I say to anybody, I saw you on a newspaper, they ran and buy it. I saw you on TV, they ran and look at it. That's not the part. I saw your mother, I saw your sister, I saw your friends, what did you. So if we can increase local content, business will come in and people will come in and enjoy, you know, languages. I can give an example. When I was in the National Council, part of the staff, till assistant in the National Council of Provinces in 1994, we realized that a lot of conversation can go back to that. Mr. Mashama would speak in his language. You don't know what would do so. And when you went to guide you, the Southern Press Corporation in that language, you definitely hear that he would be there. He would be the most voted politician because the people knew that he would speak in that language. And that was an indication of those radio stations that we think that the language number is limited. But this is actually that what actually happened. So local content is important to get people to choose your station. Look at the newspapers today. When you look at, for example, the new newspaper that came on board, which is the New Age. The New Age has a section where they concentrate on provinces. You know, I sit in Johannesburg. For the first time I write that newspaper, because I know that I can see what's happening in different provinces. For the people, what are you saying about my company in the different provinces? So I think that one of the most important things that South African Broadcasting Corporation must do is to have the stories of other people. Number two, and I don't know if I was going to say, advertisements and more people would advertise. The other thing is an issue that is important, stakeholder relationship. Stakeholder relationship is important. South African Broadcasting Corporation must be able to identify who are our major stakeholders. And among those stakeholders could be business. I was president of the, by the way, of the South African Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And I was the president for 5 years. In those 5 years, I don't remember of any proactive interaction that we ever had to discuss with the South African Broadcasting Corporation. Yet we were listeners and were the ones who had the money to be able to buy space and buy all those type of things. So the importance of in your stakeholder metrics to map out all your stakeholders and how you can be able to adopt strategies to ensure that you can be able to ensure the self-sustainability of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. But the state has a goal. So the state has a goal, business has a goal in terms of appreciating, working, and putting money into it and buying advertising space. And one question, and I've already answered it, but that's important, reliance on commission. I don't think we should look at it from that point of view, because it's a negative way of looking at it. It is not reliance on commercial. It is a contribution that is made by commercial into the corporate of the South African Broadcasting Corporation in a way of advertising. The more the advertising, if you advertise, it's not because those that will give you money are relying on you. It's because they see corporate. But it goes for profit. They see profit. So it's not that you are a victim. The South African Broadcasting Corporation will be a victim of the commercial section and they will tender to the bills of business. Business will be the one that will be running after them because they can see money by advertising because numbers are going up. So it's not so much really reliance, but at the same time, both business and government have a lot. My time is a little bit. Remember that I mentioned that if you look at nicely, most of the organizations I serve, first of all, very important, are non-profit organizations. Most of them, in fact, 90% of them are non-profit organizations. I love serving my community. I've done it all the time. If you look at those that I'm actively involved at the moment as a leader, is the Information Technology Association, is the South African local government, and of course, Melbourne. The other, in the past, not at the present moment that I speak. Number two, yes, there's a policy at the school for how we serve state institutions, how we serve private and other people, and of course, permission will be sought from an organization like Modesty for all of us. And number three, the PMA is quite, by the way, that I'm assuming that I hold quite proudly, is I'm the chairman of the audit committee of the South African Parliament, a role I've been doing since 2007, but as a PMA, you don't pay people who work for that, for being able to just pay them out of pocket and buy anything here. And my preference now today, the committee is not even pay anything because Parliament would meet for a committee meeting that I'll share this afternoon. And that shows my deep understanding of the PMA. I understand it quite clearly because every quarter I report to the presiding officers of this Parliament on the performance of how Parliament uses its resources, money, and that type of thing. So I'll give my eyes wide and attention should I be honored by this committee to choose me as a non-executive director of the South African Broadcasting Corporation. No matter what, in human resources, one of the things I take into consideration is when you go for an interview, the careful that what you put on your CV, you're advertising yourself, and you're asking people to ask you questions on that. And I want to tell you, kids, don't put that to a Christian or not, because you're allowing the community to ask you those questions. You see, because normally it says, you don't ask a person just to leave their beliefs. But if the person put them on their CV, the person says, hire me because I'm a Christian. Therefore, it is right for you to ask those questions. So I don't know. And say, if you have to serve 6 years of age and getting 57, how do you think you have the resources to have an age to do so? Then I can say, no, I did not understand my age. That is, and then I don't do that. Alright? Thanks, I have another one.
Thank you.
An Institute of Directors. I've been a member of the Institute of Directors for more than 10 years. And in that, I love that organization very deeply. I support it in many different ways. One of the things that I have done across the country when I was working for Microsoft, a company that then had resources, I approached the Black Business Management and said, I will take money from my company and we'll go across the country and we'll look for young, competent people, of our people, and we'll train them in corporate governance, and we did that with the Institute of Directors. I deeply believe that the board of directors, both executive and non, must take corporate governance seriously. Boards are highly contested because it's about resources, it's about planning, it's about vision, and it's about the future. And unfortunately, you can only criticize by looking backward, but you cannot smash forward by using the rear view mirror. From time to time, you must, because it might be someone waiting behind you. You see, it's important that you don't forget them, what is in behind. It's important that the board do get training on corporate governance. They take corporate governance extremely serious because it's extremely important. They must know that the custodians of the resources of the state. But even in the website, you know, people say, what about, you know, about what kind of corporation or your institution you have any terms with? Even a private company, if it's image and reputation, and it's a big company, it's in the sense of what is bad, it also translates to the country. Because as people say, big companies, look what happened to our image during the, when the building industry, you know, did what they did. People outside said, just, no corporate governance in South Africa. How can big businesses of the nation do what they're doing? So it's important, both public and private, that we have to take corporate governance seriously. I talked about KPMG. KPMG, of course, is part of the Institute of Directors. It's the one that decided many, many years ago, and governments of many countries, to put together, you know. That's how South Africans are very, very innovative in dealing with their problems. Sometimes a little bit slow. But many countries do not have a document like the King's Way. Very few countries have that document, and most of them refer to this document when they want to talk about how we run our countries. I mean, if you look at some of the indexes about the constant business, look at the banking industry, the auditing industry, some people talk about, when it comes to not talk about corruption, not a few, but not talk about the whole world says when you want to policy, when you want banking, when you go to South Africa, it's, you know, that I think is extremely important, and I think these things are important. The 24-hour channel, a very interesting phenomenon, in the way it is placed, and I think this is the right thing, in competition with British Broadcasting Corporation, CNN, Sky, and then the this channel amongst the giants, you know, to see, so that when you go there, if you choose them, you are just not far, just behind you is CNN and all the. So I think those are good things to do, but most importantly is giving, now you give the one audiences, tell them the stories. Is giving them access to Africa. You see, remember CNN, number one, BBC number one, number two CNN, number this guy, all of them give you the eye to the West, the outside world. Even if you jump, you know, to go to the African top 10, they keep all of them on the top 10. It's the only one with the servant that has come in, that are now giving you access to Africa. And it's very important, every time we can offer benefit from this wage, this skillful decision that was taken by the board, that we do so. If I want to answer some questions, please do ask me. Okay, the Vice President of the American Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Mr. Gekhan, I used to work for Microsoft. So when I was working for Microsoft, I became a member of this particular chamber. But we continue to be members because this is my first one. You know, we talk about funding. There's a point where ESCOM itself had challenged with the funding model and where to get money to go to see them, need to be and all that stuff. And every leadership of the company look at the many, many funding models, like completely different types of funding models with different people. And the most important thing is when we started to work with the government, we wanted to have access to negotiating, access to building relationships in the U.S. And we used AmChain as one of those platforms to be able to do so. Try to mix some of the questions so that I don't say no much influence, so I may have I think one question that I did not deal well with is non-executive and executive. By pressing bodies, a simple colleague of mine once said to me, it's easy to describe that non-executive are those that are not employed full time, and executive are those that are employed full time. That's easy. That answer, as far as I'm concerned, non-executive is hand off, no ski. The point of the matter is, if you read, for example, the South African Broadcasting Corporation, and what you require of the activities of the board person, you know, and you use the word in front of non-executive, activists is how board members themselves define themselves. How activists you should be without interfering with the normal 24-hour activities of an institution, you see. But also, how hands-off do you become to the extent that things happen without your knowledge. The extra, you know, which is the company expert training, to give the PFMA expert training, you reach the credit regulation expert training, because it is an interesting and a consistent definition as which one of the two should you just look in when you know using the word crisis and say I'm not a crazy, or should you take off your jacket and get in and by so doing interfere. So it's not as simple as all that, as it has been in the English Oxford Dictionary. Non-executive, not employed full time. Executive, employed full time.
Thank you very much. I don't think that any other member wants to ask this question for various reasons. Mine is simple. You pay your children. No people who are interested in that they think that they are not supposed to pay you, right? Do you pay yours?
I do. So I don't pay it as well as I did when I realized, because I knew I was going to get this question. I pay more time, I pay. I realized that some other years people do, you know, I'm still like productive on this money. But what happened when I start paying, you know, I pay the board, I was going to pay like that, you know. They allow you to pay for time. So there's a stop for that. That goes automatically. Every quarter, and then so for this one,
I hope after the interview you're not going to stop yourself. otherwise, thank you very much. Let me check members before I put any question. Member to Paul, I don't see any indication. Thank you very much, and that's it. All the best. Thank you. Members, your time is 10 past or 7 minutes past 1. We have started almost 20 past 12. We are just 2 minutes. We have prepared something to eat. A finger lunch also. They were also trying to get up the catch. They are them on for our lunch. And I just want to bring to your attention one issue.
were resolved that they are going to have MDDA in Kaiju's birthday. But it will seem that there is one candidate, Fuyelwa Tringa Bika. She is committed for Thursday. She can only come Friday. No, the Parliament Friday is the official working day. Party work is Monday. Not Friday. The issue, that's the situation. That's why I'm raising it. Because the committee has already decided on the interview date. Now, only four of the candidates can come Thursday. The fifth one, she won't be able to make it to the fire commitment.
You seem to have a very lazy committee. That will really persuade people to do things they cannot do. But it's their duty. Friday is a working day. And if you do allow that candidate to come, it cannot be my story because I said we must be, so it must be all of us on Friday. I am proposing
this. That's why honorable members are raising this matter because we need to be realistic. It's Tuesday. We decide that we will not come Thursday afternoon.
Really?
Not everyone can be available within 2 days or a day, notice and so on. People are committed on other things as well. But I want to add that because looking at the time which we've given ourselves, almost only tomorrow for the candidate to come. And if a person, we have been trying to persuade her to talk to her for the past hour or so, in terms of she'll be trying to escape her things and so on, and she finally comes back, that, no, that doesn't seem to be possible, and to schedule the commitments and so on. So, we will have to accommodate her, so that we are able to interview her. Probably is to ask members to ask. We will start it's one candidate. We can do the other form. Thursday, was only one, which is an hour interview. Members can still catch their 10 o'clock flight or 10 o'clock flight Friday.
Thank you.
Honorable
not sure we appreciate your explanation. You just said it's not laziness, it's other pressures. For example, in my case, the PCO has already rescheduled a very serious program on Friday. So, but I would encourage my colleagues that those that would faith, my story, all my colleagues to be there, because if they are there, I feel good because I'm represented. You know, just like this morning, we were in plenary, and my committee, Women, Children, and Disability, this was also the final member. It is our committee, and the debate was taking place. We just were told it's important that we be there. And I can tell you, during the division, we didn't even get a call up in plenary. So that migrator stopped because there was no cover. And that division did not take the vote because it was voted. So I'm just trying to divide and commitment that does it when we are all participating. More than laziness, it's just all these commitments that does it.
Thank you. Probably we need to go for lunch because now it's 1:01. Ramaruta.
Dr. Henderson, I wanted to come up with something else. I'd like to know from you whether we are committed to finish this interview within this week for a reason, I suppose. Because I was going to say we could maybe keep that person in the short term to stay with each other. Everyone is around.
Thank you. We have to interview and finish the recommendations, and we'll interview her Friday. We conclude also the session with Dr. Alcoid and give him the SAPC because the time was about next week and then last week for the King of Parliament, and since the it's full of me. But
my humble friend is saying, let's go for lunch, and along with we talk to other African countries who are available on Friday, and also as well, which will be available on Friday, will be available on Friday.
Thank you. Let's break for lunch. We
will
So, remember, who is outside? Can we go and we started to the different. Thank you.